Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Join us now as we go into Bible study, and we'll be talking about Christ in the Old Testament, God with us, and this week we'll specifically be focusing on absolute power of Christ. So join us as we begin our devotion, our song, scripture, prayer. We'll start our song with Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart, and scripture read by Dr. James Nooks, and prayer by Dr. Street Beavers.
Amen. Amen. Our text for tonight is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. This is the Great Commission, and it reads like this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." God adds a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. God, we come before you right now with open hearts. So we're asking you to open the hearts that are closed, open the minds that are closed, open us up to you, O God. Let the Holy Spirit flow from us, from the top of our heads, throughout our bodies, to the soles of our feet. Lord, let us embrace you, be a part of you, be one with you as we come to you tonight. Lord, help us. Lead, God, and direct. We ask and need a word from you, O God. Open us up so that we would hear and understand who God with us means and who the understanding the absolute power of Christ tonight. Help us, O God, because you are omnipotent. You are the all-wise one. You have all the knowledge as the Alpha and the Omega. But we're asking that you would open our spiritual eyes and our hearts so that we can walk and talk and be, O God, disciples, that we can grow up, O God, from being a child and put away childish things and become grown-ups, Lord, for you, that we can put away things that are not of your world but are of this world and move forward being more like you. Lord, you know what we need tonight. We're asking that each person under the sound of my voice would receive that one thing they need to make it through the rest of this week until we meet again and to go on to grow, Lord, not just to use this word and to hold it, but to make it embellished part of our lives, that we can be living testimonies. We ask this blessing now in your Son Jesus' name we pray, trusting you always. Amen. So Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to go, let's go. I wanted to let you know who we have, Brother Eric on the line, yourself and Brother Brett, and there are others who are just listening in tonight, but we're ready to go when you are.
Amen. Amen. I asked myself when I put this title down, the absolute power of Christ, why I chose that word, absolute power. And you all that are listening, and sometimes God gives you words and gives you thoughts and gives you abilities and understanding that is beyond your own understanding. So I didn't choose this word myself, but instead it was given to me. And I want us to read our text again, and I want us to think about absolute power of Christ and how that affects our lives. So I'm going to ask, can somebody get Matthew 28, 16 through 20 in the Message and in another version? And I'd like to have it read in a two versions. Can somebody get that in the Message? Matthew 28, 16 through 20.
I have the Message, Matthew 28, 16. I have it.
And this is Eric. I've got it in a New Living Translation.
Okay.
You want to do the New Living first?
Did you read that?
I can.
That's good. Do it in the New Living.
From the Message?
do the New Living first.
Okay.
New Living Translation, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them still doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen. The reading from the Message says, after the Sabbath, which text you want me to start with, Dr. Nunn? How far?
Matthew 28:16-20.
Okay. Starting at the 16th verse, it says, meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. And Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. And in some texts, you'll find this authority being power. And I got to thinking about this, and in one of our hospitals, we have a chaplain that's an atheist. And I was just wondering how an atheist that does not believe in the absolute power of Christ could pray for anybody in the name of Jesus. How could we, if we don't believe in the absolute power of Christ, be disciples of Christ? And it weighed on my mind because I look here in that 17th verse and it says, but some doubted. And I think we have a problem in being able to tap into the power of God through Christ if we don't believe in the absolute power of Christ. So I'd like to get some input from those that are participating tonight in that thought. How can we tap into the power of Christ if we don't believe in the absolute power of Christ? And look at our world today and in our churches today, and let's help maybe those that are listening in to understand about how important it is to believe in the absolute power of Christ. So I invite Brett and Eric and Dr. Susie to share with those that may be listening in thoughts about how we could possibly believe, how we could tap into the power of God, and I'm referencing back to this atheist that's a chaplain. How could he possibly pray for Christians if he doesn't even believe in the Christ that he might be praying for people about. I'm really baffled by that, and I'm baffled by people that don't really believe in Christ.
Well, Dr. Nooks, this is Eric.
To be representatives of Christ. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Dr. Nooks, let me help you be unbaffled. He just talking. His words don't mean anything. You can't pray and talk about praying for Christians and you don't believe in Christ. Because all power, that says all power has been given through Christ. That there's no other way to get to God except through Christ. There's no other way to get to God except through Christ. And so somebody that does that, they're just talking. That doesn't mean anything. And I can have a conversation with anybody. But you can't tell me you praying for me and you don't believe in the absolute power and sovereignty of Christ to operate in our lives. That's just two opposite things.
So, Brother Eric, this is Dr. Susie. You need to know who praying for you and what they believe before you start asking
for you. You better believe that. You best believe that you need to know that.
Excuse me, just because I say I'm a minister doesn't mean anything.
My Lord.
What do I believe as a minister? I mean, there used to be a day and a time when if you said that, you knew what it meant. But that day is long gone. So now you need to know what people are standing on when they say they believe. What do they believe in? And you
there
need
you
to
go.
Know that before you start letting people lay hands on you and pray for you. But one of the things that, you know, came to mind, Dr. Nix, as you were asking the question, is that I often talk and I often preach and I say that there's a difference. Jesus' followers had a whole bunch of different kind of people. As it says, some held back and wouldn't risk. I say that there were, and we can hear a lot of background noise. There were the curious, there were the convinced, and there were the committed. The curious folks, we can hear the papers turning and whatever's going on, whoever's fidgeting. The curious were the people who followed Jesus, and when he said something that they didn't like, they left. The convinced people, they knew all believed in him, but they weren't willing to give up anything. But they were convinced that who he was, but they weren't willing to go the whole way. And then there were the committed people, people that were dedicated, that were loyal, that were going to be faithful no matter what. So we have to figure out who we are. Are we the curious, the convinced, or the committed when we're dealing with these kind of issues?
Amen.
And this is Eric again, and I submit that when people start that, you need to ask them. You need to ask them, okay,
you
praying for me. You praying to who? For what? Who are you praying to? Are you believing that Christ is the Son of God who has complete authority? Because if not, then I don't need you telling me that you're praying for me. I just need you say you having a conversation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, just Brett.
Go ahead, Brett. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
No. You go
ahead.
We want to hear from you, brother.
Okay. As a child being raised up in the church, this is something that has always puzzled me. And because when it says that, but some doubted him. In my mind, in my childish mind, it was, how can you be walking with the master? You see everything that he has done, all the miracles he has performed. You hear his teachings day in and day out. You ask him for advice. He gives you advice and stuff. And how can you not believe in him? I've never been able to process that. But then I remember that when Jesus was selecting his disciples, it didn't say that they all believed in him. It just says these were the guys that he, this was his posse, as we say today, okay? Some believed, some didn't. And just like Dr. Susie said, she put it in the right perspective. You're always going to have somebody that doubts. I don't care what group of people you got. You can get your mama, your brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews. In that group, somebody's going to doubt something that you say. That's all I have.
Amen. Amen. And I think Jesus was trying to teach them that he was with them to help them in that, maybe in that doubt, in that text in Matthew 28:16-20. Because he's telling them to go and make disciples, and he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age." So when we doubt the absolute power of Christ, then we lose our effectiveness. I want us to look at at Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. Can somebody get that for us?
This is Eric. I've got it in a New Living Translation.
Okay.
When Jesus had finished telling these stories, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was astonished and said, "Where does he get his wisdom and his miracles? He's just a carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simeon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here among us. What makes him so great?" And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief.
Amen. Amen. So if we don't believe in the absolute power of Christ, and then we expect Christ to do miracles in our lives, are we fooling ourselves?
Yes.
That's not only are we fooling ourselves, we in denial. We faking the funk. We doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff. That's ludicrous. That is ludicrous. If you don't believe, but in that scripture, it's always been amazing to me. Here's the foundation for this whole conversation. It is impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
I mean, that's the cornerstone. Yeah. So it is impossible for you to tap into the power of Christ if you don't believe, if you doubt, if you, you know, on the fence. They say, you know, "I wish that you were hot or cold. You lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth." You can't sit on it. I mean, you got to be all in, because if you're not all in, you're not in at all.
Amen. Amen. But isn't this, my brothers and sisters, isn't this where many people are at? And isn't this how Satan gets to us? Is that Satan causes us to doubt. Jesus is saying, "Believe in me. You know, I'm with you always." And Satan is saying, "Well, are you sure Christ can do that? Do you really believe that Jesus is able to deliver you when you're in peril, when you, the fiery darts being shot at you, when people are talking about you, when you lose your job, when you don't have any money, when everything goes wrong, your wife leaves you, your husband leaves you? Where's Jesus? Where was God in all that?" And God is saying, believe in me and say, go ahead.
And this, Dr. Nixon, that you bring up a great point. And I think what I would tell our listeners is when you think back to me, Meshach and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, what did they tell the king? We will not worship. And we know that our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't,
all right,
because Satan has us to believe that the most important thing is this realm when it is not, we were never told that we were not going to have trials and tribulations and run into hardships and be battered and abused and neglected and mistreated. We were never promised that we were going to have a perfect life through this realm we call Earth. We were never promised that. And so we need to be girding up and putting on that suit of armor for the fight here for where our eternity is going to be. And most of us can't picture that piece. So
Amen.
We believe that,
Amen.
And Satan has us to believe that, well, if you don't have a smooth life here, then God ain't for you and he ain't with you and he ain't thinking about you and he allowing you to do this. So you just need to go ahead and give up and check out and don't worry about it. And we fall for that because we can't visualize the next station of our journey.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Eric, there's another point where Satan gets us, and I think you're pointing it out well, is that we have a hard time believing Christ when he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, there you can go also. But if we don't believe that there is a heaven, there is a place beyond this place, there is an existence beyond this existence, then how are we going to act here? I mean, why? And this is how Satan works our minds, because most of us have a hard time believing beyond this life.
Darkness,
we are so caught up in where we are right now. Go ahead, Dr.
I would challenge that most of us have a hard time believing, period. That's why he says, I'm with you even to the end of the age, because he had to continue to put it out there. Because when times get rough and things going hard, we start to think we're on our own. There's nobody there. But he made a point of saying, I will be there. I am with you. Because we struggle to believe that. That's the
Amen.
Reason why he said it.
Amen. Amen. Go with me. Somebody get Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. Somebody get that for us.
I've got Mark 9.
Mark 9.
I've got
14 through 24.
This, when they returned
read
to
both,
the other
read
disciples.
Go ahead, Dr. Seuss.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
I'm trying to. Which version did you want? I'm sorry.
Well, Eric said he had it, and then you said you had it, and I said read both of them. So go ahead and read it in the message.
Yeah, I was. Okay, because I just switched from the New Living. So the message says when they came back down the mountain to the other disciples, they saw a huge crowd around them and the religious scholars cross examining them. As soon as the people in the crowd saw Jesus, admiring excitement stirred them. They ran and greeted him. He asked, what's going on? What's all the commotion? A man out of the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my mute son, made by a demon, to you. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and goes stiff as a board. I told your disciples, hoping they could deliver him, but they couldn't. And Jesus said, what a generation. No sense of God. Lord have mercy. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. They brought him. And when the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy into a seizure, causing him to riot, writhe on the ground, and foam at the mouth. He asked the boy's father, how long has this been going on? Ever since he was a little boy. Many times it pitches him into the fire or to the river to do away with him. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. And Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, then I believe. Help me with my doubts. How far do you want me to read, Dr. Nutt?
That's it, the 24. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is Eric, the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation reads as thus. At the foot of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other disciples as some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. The crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and then they ran to greet him. What's all the arguing about? He asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been going on? How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was very small. The evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire and to water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly replied, I do believe, but help me with my doubt.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
All things are possible to those that believe. I believe, but help my unbelief.
So, Doctor, I heard the man say,
yes.
I believe, but help me with my doubt, meaning that you can have a belief that's not rock solid. And he's saying to me, I'm hearing him say that I need help in the areas where I'm not strong, where my faith or my belief is not tight. I need help. So for those of us who think we got it all together, not me, but for
Amen.
Those people who think they have it together, you know, there's always some chink in your armor. There's always some spot that you have not achieved, else you wouldn't still be here. You know, so we have not arrived. We are growing in the faith and our belief, and God is working with us to be stronger. That's what I heard.
Amen.
This is Eric. So isn't it amazing? Or maybe not. I'm trying to formulate this. Do you think our unbelief comes in because when we do realize that Christ and God and Holy Spirit has done something in our lives that we may truly not understand, that we then want to believe that it's some other causation? It's somebody that we met, it's our connections, it's something that we did as opposed to giving God all the praise, honor, and glory for what has transpired. So therefore that makes us not believe when something else comes up. I mean, because Brett was right. I mean, they walked, the same disciples walked with Jesus. They saw him feed, 5,000 with two loaves and five loaves and two fishes. They yeah. watched him turn water into wine, and the best wine anybody had ever had. They watched him as he brought Lazarus back to life, called him back to life. They saw all of this. And so is it that humanness in us is like, well, I see that, but there's a causation for that that's not coming from him, and I'm not accepting that. But like Dr. Suey said, but I'm going to step out here and I'm going to try this. If it doesn't make me look too foolish, if it doesn't cause my friends to talk about me. And the first time it takes a little bit longer than I think it needs to take, then I'm going the other way. Because we all think that Christ needs to be on our time frame, and that's just not true.
Amen.
My Lord. My Lord.
Hey, Eric.
So Satan just... Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, Brett.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the reason why some of the disciples couldn't do it is the same reaction that a lot of us have when we first start preaching. And the Spirit wants to take you over, but you want to stay in charge of yourself, and you get scared. And I think when people get scared, part of their defense mechanism is not believing in themselves. Because I know that the more I preach, the more that the Spirit wanted to take over. Now, whenever I preach, maybe the introduction I've written, I don't know how many times, but after that, God takes over. I don't even need the Bible. It's just.
Regarding what you were when you were talking about believing in yourself, I think the issue is not that you believe in yourself, but that you believe in God. The whole thing
right.
is to set you up so you realize it's not about you.
Right. But I was talking about the confidence that a person has in themselves. See, all
you
of us want
to
be in charge.
In you. But,
I understand
but I'm saying
that.
The whole idea, the setup is to move us away from that.
Right.
So that our confidence is in God.
But that's true, but I think Brett makes the valid point that we want to be in control, which is the issue.
There you go.
But I think that's what I'm trying to say is that if it's not about us, when we realize it's not about us and quit trying to be in control, and maybe that's what Brett was saying, it's about letting God do what God wants to do through us, and understanding that we don't have to have confidence in us, because that's what the problem is. It's about us thinking we can do it, and at one point in time we get to believing that this ain't about you anyway. Move out of the way. Like Brett was saying, at that point he lets the Holy Spirit use him. Because he's moved out of the way. And that's where God wants us to be, is out of the way.
Absolutely.
Can I push back just a little? I don't think he wants us to be out of the way. I think he wants us to be used as the vessel.
Amen.
Self. I got you. I agree. But I want to lay this on top of that for just one second, is that you can't get to that point if you don't have an authentic relationship. You can't get to that point having a casual relationship, a pass-by relationship. I just want to put that on top of that, because that's key to this, is that you have to have an authentic relationship with God at that particular point in time to get to that point, to know that it ain't about you and self, that you can move self out of the way, let the Spirit use you as the vessel that God wants to be used in the authority of Jesus Christ, because he gave Jesus Christ the complete authority to do that. And so we gotta have an authentic relationship to do that, and anybody that's been on here a while, and I want our listeners to know, because we don't have it all down to a science. We not all living, you know, the good life. It's a struggle out here. And if you are
Amen.
A follower of Christ, it's going to be a struggle to the day
Amen.
You leave. That's just the reality of it. But the difference is that we are sincere about having a relationship with God. Even when we mess up, we don't run. We run to the altar on our knees to confess our sins, asking the Lord to break us and mold us and refreshing us so that we can go forth and do what it is that he's asking us to do. And we may have to do that 1,000 times a day if we're honest with each other. But the fact of the matter is that we go to our only place where there is salvation.
All right.
And that is the part, and that is the piece of having an authentic relationship.
Amen. Amen. And that's where we get our power from. That's where we get our power from. And that's where we get our authority from. And if we don't go, and if we don't have that relationship with Christ, then we shouldn't be running around here as like the atheist praying for folks, expecting miracles to happen or healing to happen. It's not going to happen. So we don't have any power. We don't have any authority of ourselves. And to that end, the last text I want us to look at is Acts 4, 1 through 20. Acts 4, 1 through 20. Somebody get that for us.
Go ahead and read it, Dr. Nix. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them and, since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures, where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men, who were no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?" So I think many of you are making the point that we do things in the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and not of ourselves. And that's a big issue with many of us, is that we want to put ourselves before God. And Brett talked about being guided by the Spirit, and Eric and Dr. Susie all chimed in and made it clear that we need to be allowing God to be doing the leading and not ourselves. So do we have any comments about this? And just remembering that our subject for tonight is absolute power of Christ.
Wow, this is Eric. So that's that reading of that scripture makes it very clear. They were ordinary men. Everybody saw that. They were talking in boldness, being guided and directed by the Spirit. Their deeds were pure and clear. They healed a man because he was looking at them wanting money, and they said, "Such as we have, silver and gold have we not, but such as we have, we give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk."
Amen.
And Amen. So that's the authority of Christ at work, even though Christ wasn't physically with them. He was a part of them, but he wasn't physically standing there, is what I mean. And so that, and when, you know, when anybody has an opportunity to understand what that's really all about, and I'll end with this one, is that spend some time reading Hebrews 11. Just go through Hebrews 11, and when it talks about faith and it talks about the ultimate authority, we find that there, and what people did and what people can still do in doing that.
Amen.
And we need to, absolutely, and can still do. And we need to be mindful of that. And those of us that have those testimonies,
Amen.
We ought to tell people those things and remind people of those things. For what Christ has done for me, he will do for you also. I'll have a cornerstone
Amen.
On that. As many
I
as will believe.
A little bit of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. It's an act of faith. It's what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. This ain't about what we're talking about. You know, we have the criticism that some preacher or some teacher is telling you something. We letting you read this for yourself. It says, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed. Come on, not what he brought that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, the belief continues to catch our notice by an act of faith. Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over
all right.
to find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists, come on somebody, and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him by faith. Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result, his family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. And it's that intimacy that we keep sharing with all of our listeners that you have to have with Christ. That personal relationship that comes with abiding with God, talking to God, reading God's word, letting God
teach you through the Spirit, listening to other people, dialoguing with them about the Word, iron sharpening iron, becoming strong in your faith and in the Word. We're not telling you something that we want you to believe, because this is not of us. This is the Word of God that we read from the Holy Bible. And so pull out your Bible every time you come to Bible study and get ready, because we're going to go. And that's what it's all about when you come to join Your Place Love.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dr. Nuss.
Amen. Well, Dr. Susie, it's 8:03. I know we got started a little late, but I didn't know how much longer you wanted to go, and I can turn it over to you.
All right. Brother Eric, are you on the line still?
Yes.
Would you extend us a prayer and an offer of invitation? And then after that, we'll be closing. And next week is Dr. Nooks' last week. He'll be dealing with Jesus the Healer. Jesus the Healer. So come back and join us after next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go ahead, Brother Eric, and close us.
Gracious Father, for those who have been listening, Father, those who have not truly accepted you as their personal Savior, Father, we ask that you would prick their hearts that they may do so. That you are listening, that if you should believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ said that you shall be saved and that you shall have everlasting life. And so we extend this opportunity for you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll come into my life and take control as I surrender myself to you, that I may be your servant, and that you may be my Lord and Master, that you may guide and direct my path, that I may humble myself beneath you, and that you would come into my life to take control. For I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are the one, the only, the true Savior of the world, and I surrender myself to you. And I would ask that you would have your way. If you've prayed that prayer, Christ has saved you. I would ask that you would find a local church that you could become a part of to fellowship and worship. But Christ has saved you. You need not worry about that. But we are, as Christians, together to study, to grow more and more. So I would ask that those of you who have accepted Christ with this small prayer, that you would do that. But to leave here tonight knowing that you have been saved. Dr. Susie, I'll turn it back to you.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We'll see you guys next week on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.